Welcome to the final Jungle Week of the year. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. Fact, this is our last week of the year. We've got our year in review coming up on Friday, so you want to make sure you get in here right now. Hit me up. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, where to start? It is the last week of the year, so we've got four normal shows. And then we have our week in review, and then I'm off until the 2nd. So I'd love to hear from you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. What's cracking? 1-800-636-8686. Use the number. Hit me right now. I am going to front load. Let me say that. I've got Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports coming up next segment. Kenny Clark is a defensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers. He's coming up at 40 past hour number one. Next hour, a jungle legend. We're going to throw it back. He made it into the College Football Hall of Fame, so I figured now would be as good a time as any to get caught up with my man, T-Buck. Terrell Buckley is coming in at 10:40 Pacific time. So the middle of hour number two. Hour number three is wide open. The ATP today. Also, one more thing. Send your holiday picks to RomeAndHaveATake.com. We're going to turn them into digital cards and play them back on CBS Sports Network like we did last year. Make sure they're tasteful and responsible. All right, all that said, let's round up the NFL weekend. I start every single Monday this way by rounding up what I saw and telling you what I think. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again right now. When it comes to the NFL, nobody knows anything at all. And if you need even more proof, check out the Atlanta Falcons beating the San Francisco 49ers. No, actually, check out the Atlanta Falcons, period.
Period.
The hell is with that crew. They start the year 1-1. Then they lose six straight. Then they beat New Orleans and Carolina. Then they lose two straight. Then they beat Carolina again. And then they've got to go across the country and not only hang with the 49ers, but play them close enough that they actually had a look at winning this game.
Matt Ryan for the win. No, Jones catches it, but not in the end zone. That looks like the ball crosses.
Looks like he breaks the plane.
Crosses the plane.
Now, obviously, when he comes down, he's outside
of
the plane.
They're winding the clock, and they're saying it's over, and the 49ers rush the field. Dan Quinn is saying, wait a minute. It's automatic review.
The previous play is under review.
They ruled him down, but this, as you said.
After review, the runner possessed the ball and broke the plane. Therefore, it is a touchdown.
And this.
Timer. Please reset the game clock to 2 seconds. The ball game is not over.
In other words, touchdown, Atlanta! And it turned out that they not only had a look at it, after the review, they won it. And then they chased it with this.
We're going to bounce it right at Samuel. He's going to throw it back. And to the far side goes Emmanuel Sanders, or no, Richie James. Now he's going to sling it backwards. Now Mostert's going to take the deep shot. Ball hits the ground.
Ball game.
And that is the ball game. And Olamide Zaccheaus is going to score.
See, the thing about that is, and I will get to it later on, that was not the ball game when the ball hit the ground. There's a lot more to it than that. But let me put that aside for a minute and talk about the fact that the Niners, who just beat the Saints in New Orleans, just lost to the Falcons in Santa Clara. Which is crazy. That's crazy, but it's so NFL. Week to week, nobody knows anything. Week to week, you really cannot count on anything or anybody consistently. Like, say, for example, Dallas. Dallas was circling the drain after a miserable month. And just when we thought we were going to watch them all bleed out in the street, they rise up and they hang 44 on the Rams. Nobody saw that coming. Not you, not me. Not even the Cowboys, and certainly not the Rams, or they would have done something about it. Nobody knew Jack about any of that. Any of that. Nobody knew Jack about that, and nobody knew Jack about the coin toss. The people who should know actually had no idea whatsoever.
It is heads. Dallas has won the toss.
Okay, defense. You want to kick it that way.
You want to kick.
You can defer the second half.
Yeah. Okay, you're going to kick. Yeah. Which goal? You'll defend this end. Very good.
It's
So Jared Goff, with a smirk on his face, once they get it all sorted out, says, that's fine. We will take the football.
What a joke. What an absolute joke. Dak Prescott has a roundabout way of saying defer. And either referee Walt Anderson did not hear it or just ignored it. I'm not going to say that the refs are so bad that they can't even call a coin flip. But the refs are so bad, they couldn't even call a coin flip. Then again, they were probably thinking, well, if we call it both ways, we've covered our ass. If we call it both ways, we can't be wrong. Because initially, the Cowboys were going to kick to start both halves. Then the league office had to jump in and confirm that Dak wanted to defer. And then at halftime, Anderson told both teams that Dallas would get the ball to start the second half. Well, sort of. Because according to Aaron Andrews, Sean McVay didn't learn about that change until he was coming out of the locker room to start the second half. I mean, that is a joke. What an absolute joke. In that case, it was a damn good thing that the Cowboys found their offense yesterday and they led it 28-7 at halftime. Because if that game had been close, it would have been an utter disaster if the Rams thought they were getting the ball only to have it ripped from them. And by the way, what did happen to the Rams? And what happened to the Cowboys? Jason Garrett looks like a damn genius for breaking out that cornball highlight reel earlier in the week. And apparently, if you like this highlight reel, you're going to love the Saturday speech because his guys did. Sean Lee, who had himself a day, went out. He said it was one of the best speeches I've ever heard from Garrett. And then he went out and he had his first pick in 2 years, his first solo sack in 4 years. And Jason Witten was doing things like this.
Prescott in the gun, back to throw, four-man rush, standing and throwing the ball to the right, and a nifty catch for Witten. It's a three, and three steps into the end zone for the GOAT. Touchdown, Witten and the Cowboys.
Cowboys radio. So the Cowboys beat the ever-loving crap out of the Rams. I mean, seriously, what got into these guys? Was it really just that highlight reel? And that Saturday speech. Because if so, Jason Garrett's no longer some ginger do-nothing, but freaking Newt Rockne, reincarnated. Fire him. Man, give him another 5 years, Jarrah. Better yet, let him tell you how much longer he wants to be there. Let him tell you how much longer you're going to be there, Jarrah. Let him tell you how much money he thinks he deserves, because he may have just saved your season. Well, at least until they run into the even more disappointing Eagles on Saturday night. And then who knows what's going to happen then? Freaking nobody, because nobody knows anything about this league this year. Except for this. There's only one lock. One stone-cold lock. The one thing that you can absolutely take to the bank in the NFL this season. Only one thing. The Bills Mafia. The Bills Mafia is incredible. Check out what I'm about to play. You don't even need to be watching the simulcast on CBS Sports Network to know how special this is. Just listen to the sound. That right there is from the Bills Twitter feed. And the caption is, quote, "It's 2 a.m., 25 degrees, and Bills Mafia still showed out." And Josh Allen going selfie with the crowd. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how awesome I think that is. How much I respect and admire the Bills Mafia. And they sure as hell did show out. Waiting in the middle of the night for the team to get home? They showed out, and so did their team. Playing their first Sunday night game in 12 years on the road in Pittsburgh, and they came back with a win and a playoff spot. They made life miserable for Duck Hodges. They forced four picks. They made it look like Mason Rudolph had snuck onto the field in a duck jersey. And then Josh Allen had the go-ahead TD pass with less than 8 minutes to go, and then the defense closed it out. Brass as hell. 10th win on the season, 6-1 on the road, and now you have a playoff berth. You do that, and you are going to get greeted at the airport at 2 a.m. in 25-degree weather. This is how the Mafia rolls. And you can't tell me that there is not a crew that deserves that moment more. Now, maybe the rest of you will start to give the Bills some respect because they've earned it. When the Bills clinch a playoff spot, the Bears needed a win to keep their hope alive, and they nearly got it in the weirdest way possible. Let me go to them very quickly. Down 21-13, 1 second left on the clock. The ball on the Green Bay 34. The Bears did this.
They just set it up to Cohen, looking for some blockers. Tariq Cohen now is going to throw it backwards. Ball is dropped, coming up to get it. Trubisky making moves, still on his feet. This play is still going. Horstead's got it. Ball is loose on the ground, and it is going to be it. Ball game.
Holy crap, that was close. Those plays are almost always an embarrassing disaster, but not that one. In fact, not only did they nearly score, they should have scored. Bears fans, I don't want to be the guy to dump salt into your wound and tell you something you don't already know, but Allen Robinson would have scored. If Jesper Horsted lateraled that ball, Robinson is in the end zone, and you are going for two to tie it. Instead, Jesper.
Jesper's dead.
Jesper Horsted, arguably the best name in football, was tackled and fumbled. Game over. Playoff dreams over. Green Bay finds ways to win. Chicago finds ways to lose. Yeah, I know. Tell you something you didn't already know. Just know this. They should have scored on that play. Pretty much anybody other than the Bears would have scored on that play. But you know me, I'm here to keep it positive, to be upbeat, to lift you up and not bring you down. So, if you want a feel-good story, to get a bad taste out of your mouth, how about Eli Manning going out and getting a win in what is likely his last home game ever, and to get his career record to 500 and getting love from the fans.
Timeout taken by Miami. Pat Shurmur wanting to get Eli this well-deserved ovation.
That's nice.
16 years, two Super Bowl.
That's really nice. That's nice. I like that. Or is it too nice? Is nice radio whack?
That's whack.
And boring. You want something truly whack and unbelievably boring? You want a feel bad story after that one? How about Urban Meyer showing up in Washington and sitting in the Dan's box? All right, so I'll finish that thought in a moment or two. There was Herb, just showing up and kicking it with the Dan. 1-800, a feel-bad story. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll-free. In addition to all of that, the Raiders get their own take. The Patriots get their own take. I've got thoughts on the President's Cup and more. But when we come back, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson, joins us. And there were some terrible beats yesterday, weren't there? I'll cover that. So how many of you are guilty of using your wife or your girlfriend's shampoo in the shower? I would imagine more than a few. Have you considered the importance of using a product designed for your hair? You know, like men's hair? After all, your hair is different. Dove Men Plus Care has created a hair care range designed to fortify men's hair and give it the care it needs to stay strong and healthy. Do your family and your hair a favor. Get your own product. Dove Men Plus Care for stronger, more resilient hair and available at Walmart. That's Dove Men Plus Care, available at Walmart.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
As always, I give you my complete NFL roundup to start the Monday program, but that's not enough. In fact, I've got a lot more for you, starting with this guy, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program, he is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's up? How are you?
What's up, brother? How are you doing on Monday?
Good, good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. We're heading into week 16. This is it. Home stretch, baby.
This is it. All right, so a lot of different spots where I could start, but why don't we start with the Dallas Cowboys, and before we even talk about the game, what did you make of the coin toss?
Well, I don't let Dak Prescott do any more coin tosses. I realized, look, the guy said kick, 27 times, and Walt Anderson sitting there like, I know what he's trying to get. It's like the Jeopardy contestant who answers a question but not in the form of a question. And right. Alex Trebek's like, are you an idiot? We've only done this for how many decades? I have no idea why Dak Prescott, he was clearly trying to defer. He just couldn't get the words out. But I think they made the right decision. He did say we want to defer to the second half before Walt Anderson officially made the decision, announced it to I guess the world, and then the NFL did the right thing stepping in at halftime and correcting it, because everybody knew what Dak Prescott was trying to say when you listen to the audio.
All right, so I didn't exactly see that coming, but then again, I did not see Dallas putting up 44 on the Rams either. Jason Garrett had put together a highlight reel earlier in the week and then reportedly gave a really good speech on Saturday. So if you had to guess, how do you think Jerry Jones is feeling about Garrett right now after that win?
I mean, look, hopefully it's one win. I realize now finally they've beaten a team that was over 500. Now you're 1-6. Congratulations on the season in seven games against, teams that have a winning record. But look, at the end of the day, the Rams are a team that they've been up and down all season long. They're struggling. They had a great game last week, but obviously Vegas coming into this one, Vegas put the line pretty close. And to me, that suggested that, Vegas has always got the sauce. They know what's going on. And the Rams' offensive line's terrible. It looked horrible against the Cowboys. Todd Gurley couldn't get anything done. And I continue to believe that the Rams are just a team. If you can shut down Todd Gurley, put everything on Jared Goff, there are going to be mistakes made. I think the Cowboys expose that. But to me, look, we'll see. I don't think Jerry Jones can't make any decisions off of this. If anything, I hope he looked at the film and says, hey, look how good we are when we have a balanced offense. Dak's not throwing it 50 times, and we can run the football. And, hey, maybe get Tony Pollard on the field as well in the backfield. Dallas did some things balance-wise that I think were good. But, I'm not buying the farm based on one win. That's, Garrett's done far too little this season to all of a sudden change your mind based on one win over a team that's been struggling.
Charles Robinson is my guest. All right, so you mentioned Dak. You and I have talked about Prescott and his contract going back to the offseason. You've got a piece on Yahoo right now about the entire situation. Where do things stand with a Prescott contract?
Well, he's getting the franchise tag. I mean, the Cowboys have known it for months. I had a chance to speak to someone there, and they flat out said, look, we haven't talked to these guys in months. We haven't had a fruitful exchange really since the very beginning of the season in terms of actual, financial figures. And then as the beginning of the season started to move forward and Dak got off to a hot start, his extension price went up. And, they're arguing over years. They're arguing over total money. I mean, it really is just a mess. And I think it got to the point with Dak Prescott's camp where they said, look, just bet on yourself. They're going to franchise tag you this offseason. And the leverage only moves in your favor every single month or year after this. If you can have the kind of season, where you flourish and you put up career numbers, this is only going to get better for you. That's exactly what Dak Prescott has done. I would not put the overall record on him. I think he has taken another step up. And to me, look, the Cowboys are either going to pay through the nose this offseason for the extension they want, or they're going to franchise them the next 2 years and then have to deal with it.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. All right, so let me get your thoughts on Urban Meyer, who was in Washington for the Eagles game. People are going to read that as a sign that he wants that job and maybe right. wants to spark some interest from the Cowboys as well. What do you make of the entire situation involving Meyer?
I think it's interesting that Terry McLaurin came out and said, Urban Meyer was my guest. This didn't have anything to do with, visiting the team or my coaching status. Somebody's lying, okay? Because I'm going to tell you straight up, about the middle of last week, heading into the weekend, there was definitely indications from Urban Meyer's camp that there might be interest from the Washington Redskins in him for their job opening. Now, to me, when I heard that, I thought that's not really – it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Anyone who has an opening, Urban Meyer, if you have a list of 10 coaches, Urban Meyer should probably be on it. You should have a conversation about that guy. You should probably pick up the phone and even talk to him. So the fact that he shows up, whether he was Terry McLaurin's guest or not, if Urban Meyer is trying to, indicate that, hey, I'm not trying to leverage the Cowboys, I'm not trying to drum up any kind of interest in myself, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Like, he can say he's playing chess, whatever, I think that's just a lie. I think Urban Meyer is very interested in the NFL. I think he's extremely interested in the Dallas Cowboys, as he said publicly. And, you know, I do think him schmoozing with the Redskins, whether or not he was Terry McLaurin's guest or not, only sends, you know, a signal to the Dallas Cowboys that, hey, if there is some interest here, you better move on it because I'm going to shop myself around to other NFL teams.
Yeah, by the way, I could not agree with that any more than I do. There's no way that he was just there at the behest of a former player or two. There's no way he was just doing right. something for somebody else. I mean, come on. We're talking about Herb here. All right, so we're talking also about the video that the Patriots shot on the Bengals sideline. You've got a piece up on Yahoo right now about the video and how the league is going to handle it. First off, what do you make of what you saw and heard on that video?
It's bad. I mean, it's deliberate. It's as deliberate. Like, in my mind, you know, we had heard heading into this weekend how deliberate it was. Hey, they were filming the coaches. They were filming the players. They were filming the sideline. You can, you know, you make all that up in your mind and you think, okay, when we saw the limited images of Spygate 1, that's exactly what they were doing. But then when you see it again, you know, the camera's panning, it's zooming, it's moving back and forth. It's keeping the entire sideline framed after player substitutions and package substitutions. And then, look, the audio did not help. Hearing them so eager to delete the footage, whether, you know, if it was an honest mistake or not, clearly they knew at that point, oh, you know, we really screwed this up. It's just baseline. It's terrible for the Patriots. And am I willing to think that, hey, maybe this was just an astronomical mistake by someone in the video department? Yeah, we've got a video department. I know there are producers who sometimes make mistakes. I think that could happen. But here's the bottom line. Nobody in the NFL cares. They're like, look, you already did this once. It doesn't matter. It's the mistake you can't make. And then you made it. You got caught. There's audio. There's video. It's out here. This looks terrible. Now I think the NFL's got to figure out, how do we punish the Patriots in a way that placates everyone else but also doesn't upset Robert Kraft to the point where he wants to go to war with us like he did on Deflategate?
I was going to say, that's my exact point. I mean, you've got a team that's got a history of this, but at the same time, we know Bob Kraft has got a history of punching back when the league looks to punish right. him. How do you think the league does approach this?
I think that's part of what's dragging on. When I was at the owners' meetings in Dallas last week, you know, I had a chance to talk to a league source, and I said, look, it's been, I think at that point, it had been like 3 or 4 days. I said, you got the tape. You have the tape. You've already done interviews, and you have the confession of the Patriots that, yes, we did do this. What's dragging on? Why is there no announcement at these league meetings? And this source said to me, look, it's Bob Kraft. Like, that's why. It's Bob Kraft. We got to be careful with this because we don't want to trigger something with Bob Kraft. We're openly having war with the Patriots yet again. And look, Bob Kraft, make no mistake about it, he's been a handful. He's been a great owner business-wise. I mean, he's been a cornerstone. He's a deal broker. Top five owner easily. I'm always told that's one of the guys you have to go to when you want to make deals in the NFL, no matter what it is. But at the same time, Deflategate, you had Spygate, you got Spygate now 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. You got the spa issue. You know, you've had a number of stories written historically about how the Patriots will do anything to get an edge. So he's definitely been a handful, you know, for the league. But he's also supported Roger Goodell when Jerry Jones came calling a couple years ago, going after Roger Goodell pretty hard in the paint with some lawyers. And you know, so I think that factors in, but they're going to have to find something. I don't know if it's the Atlanta Falcons punishment for pumping in crowd noise in 2016, $350K and a fifth round pick docked. You know, that's a healthy slap, not for a billionaire, but at least shows that the league's saying, we know this is wrong. You tried to do something to get an advantage and we're going to punish you for it. I think it's got to be at least that's the floor. $350K, fifth round pick, that's the floor for what the league can do.
It's Bears Watching. Without saying, we'll see how that plays out. He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. And I'll say it again, good friend of the program. Charles, good job, man. Appreciate you.
Always my pleasure, Jim. Call me anytime.
You got it. I'll take you up on that. Well done. All right, so a lot of you Patriot fans are like, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's, if we're anybody other than us, it would be nothing. Right. If it were anybody other than you, it would be nothing. But it is you. And you've done it before, and you did it again, and you got caught. So it's not nothing. Absolutely, it's not nothing. It might be nothing to you, but it's not nothing to everybody else around the NFL. Because just know this, every single team, every single owner is looking to see what the league is going to do. It's not nothing. So what punishment fits the crime? And if they're a repeat offender, what punishment fits the crime? Just know this, Chouts, it's not nothing. And it's not just going to go away. They're going to hit you with something. Now that we've seen the video, do you have a different opinion? I'm going to say probably not. If you love the team and you think everybody hates you and is out to get you, you have your take. If you hate the team and you think they are the Cheatriots, then you didn't need to see the video. And in fact, now you'll point at the video and say, see, see? And the video makes them look bad, really bad. Hey, Jim, if today is a bad show, I can delete it right here for you afterwards. Signed, suspended, Pat's videographer. I have a take on this, which I'll get to later on. But the fact that these guys are like, hey, we can delete it. We can delete it. And the Bengals security guy goes, oh, I don't think so. The damage is done, my friend. Is hilarious. It really is. Oh, no, we can delete it. Oh, I know you can delete it. We're just not going to. Now, I got a better idea. Why don't we take what you have and send it to the league and see what they think? Oh, no, there's no need for that. Oh, no, we can delete it. Yeah, I know you can. We're just not going to. When we come back, talk some Packers football. Defensive lineman Kenny Clark joins me next. Speaking of Packers football, in part, the legend, T-Bach, making a long-awaited triumphant return to the jungle. I'm going to find some old-school sound that I can play a T-Bach on the show. Right now, though, I got a sports...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All NFL in hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, a show legend, a College Hall of Famer, Terrell Buckley joins us. But right now, we're talking Packer football. I am joined by a defensive lineman for the Packers. He had a monster game in that win over Chicago. 8 tackles, 3 for loss, 2 sacks in yesterday's win. On the season, 50 tackles, 5 sacks, and a forced fumble. He was a first-team All-Pac-12 player at UCLA. He was the 27th pick overall in 2016. Green Bay, 11-3, first in the NFC North, and they're at Minnesota next Monday. We are joined by Kenny Clark. Kenny, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. So I mentioned you had a huge game yesterday against the Bears. How good did it feel to come through with not one but 2 sacks in such a critical game?
Man, it was huge. You know, it was a big game, man. And, you know, we want to just be playing our best football in December going into these playoffs. So it was just huge. I think I just started the tone for the whole defense, and we just kept it going through the rest of the game.
I was just going to say, you set the tone. What happened was, for those who missed it, you not only had a huge game, but you had a huge start to that game. You got everybody going on that second down sack in the first quarter. You made it look easy. Now, I know it's not easy, but take me through it. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to get home and bring down Trubisky?
Man, just watching film, just seeing the type of sets that 69 was going to give me. I kind of got a feel for him early, and I just kind of just took a chance and just had a cross chop and got a feel pretty quick, and then you know, and then just finished on the quarterback, and you know, it was great because, you know, Trubisky, he's an elusive quarterback. He can get all around the field, so for me to sack him, it was great.
Kenny Clark of the Packers joining us. You know, fans focus on sacks as the big stat, but every single pass rusher I talk to says people get way too caught up in that. You entered yesterday 4th in the NFL in quarterback pressures. So did you know it was only a matter of time before all that pressure would turn into sacks?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been pressuring a quarterback all year. I just haven't been getting the sack numbers that I had wanted early. So, you know, they come in bunches now, you know, these last 2 games, and hopefully I can finish out the season strong. But, you know, I've been consistently just getting at the quarterback, man. And, you know, that's what we talked to do up here, and I'm just trying to make plays for the team. And, you know, I'm just happy that now they coming in bunches, and, you know, the sacks is getting on the stat line.
You know, it seems to me like in your case especially that if you take care of all that, the rest will take care of itself. In other words, you said something I thought was very interesting earlier this year. You said, I play with leverage, I play with my hands, I play with great technique, I play blocks well, and that frees up everybody. When you're doing stuff like that, it helps the defense out. I'm big on that. End quote. So when you look at it, how important is it that you stick to playing with your technique and you do your job in the scheme instead of being selfish and getting caught up in just chasing stats?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna let the players come to me, you know, and that's the best way to win, and that's the best way to win. You know, you got to be unselfish. I feel like I'm a pretty good player in the league, and for me to show, you know, my other teammates that I'm gonna be unselfish and make plays whenever they come to me and not go around chasing plays and trying to be a stat chaser. It's only going to bring that around, you know, to the other guys that's around me. So I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to make the plays that come to me. And when I feel like I can take a chance and make that play, I'm going to try my best to make it. But it's just never been in me to go out there and chase plays. You know, I make the plays that come to me and just try to do my best to help the team win.
Kenny Clark is my guest. So let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you've got amazing talent, but how much of the success that you're having is about the fact that your technique is strong? And is it like the small things like handwork and footwork that separate the great players from the good players?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, because, I mean, everybody has talent in this league. And it's all about, you know, the techniques and the hands. And, I mean, the best defensive linemen in the league, they use their hands and they use them effectively. So, like, I'm huge on, I mean, I work on it every day. I work on it every day before practice. I work on it every day during my individuals and during teams. So, like, you know, I work on my hands all the time, work on my feet work every time. So it's huge, man. Technique is everything to me. Since college, you know, I had a great, you know, technical coach in college. And when I got to the league, you know, both of my defensive line coaches that I had in the league, you know, they've been huge technical guys. So, like, I'm huge on technique and trying to do things the right way and making plays that way.
We're talking to Kenny Clark. All right, so what about that final play? Chicago had that play, and they're lateraling the ball around. They're trying to get to the end zone, trying to give themselves a chance to tie it, and damn near did, right? What was going through your head as that play unfolded?
Yeah, man, it felt like it was designed. Like, they had that play, like, drawn up exactly how they did it, and it was a really good play, I forgot what number he was. I think 49. If he would have pitched that last one, you know, they probably could have scored on that. So we were all holding our breaths, man. And I know how I had missed the tackle on Trubisky, and I'm on the ground. I'm looking up. I'm still seeing him like pitching the ball. I'm like, man, somebody get this guy down. So. I didn't know how to react, man. I was just sitting there like, man, I just hope somebody get him down.
That's a great description right there. And you're right. I made that point before you came on that if they lateral it, they do put that thing in. I mean, it could have happened.
Exactly.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers was talking about, obviously, back in camp, how special the defense might be. He was talking about the addition of Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. You're third on the team in sacks behind the Smiths. What have they brought to the defense in terms of production, but also in the way they fit in with the chemistry of that team?
Production-wise, you know, their numbers speak for themselves. I mean, they're great players, man. They're explosive. Z, he can do so many things. We can line him up everywhere, literally everywhere on the field. And then with Preston, he brings so many things. You know, he's rushing outside, and then he's just so explosive off the edge, and he can also drop. So we can do so many things in our defense with our front. And you see a lot of guys dropping. You see a lot of guys everywhere. So that only helps us out. And then the added leadership that they bring too. I truly feel like they help bring this team closer. The locker room has just been really good to be around. You know, everybody loves coming to work every day and spending time with each other. Everybody's having fun. We out here, we being ourselves, and it's just fun. And I think, you know, Z and Preston, you know, they brought a lot of that, you know, to our locker room. So guys love being around each other. You know, we have dinners, every other 2 weeks or something like that. Like, we doing a lot of things together, and it's just something that we didn't do before those guys that came. So it's just pretty cool, man. And you know, it's cool to just be around these guys every day.
Kenny Clark, my guest. Kenny, before I let you go, I'm a Los Angeles native, and I remember the first time that I went to Green Bay back in the 90s, and I thought it was an amazing place, an amazing town. Kind of felt like a time warp to me, being an L.A. native. But as somebody who played their college ball at UCLA, what did you think when you first got to Green Bay, and what's it like to live and work there?
Man, it's a culture shock, man, definitely. I mean, the first time I seen snow was when I got out here in my rookie year. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's different, man. You know, I mean, of course, you know, L.A., you know, it's a huge city. But, you know, you get out here, it's more, you know, it's small. It's like, you know, it's a small town. You know, everybody pretty much knows each other, you know, in the city, in the town. You know, it's just different. It's just different. I mean, you walk in a grocery store, people asking you how your day going, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's just something that I'm not used to, you know, growing up, you know, in California and stuff. So, you know, California is so big, but it's definitely different, man. It's definitely different. You know, I love working up. I mean, I love, you know, going to work every day up here. You know, it's pretty cool. You know, the fans, they love us. You know, they're always into it. The games are always packed. And you know, it's nothing better than playing, you know, at Lambeau. You know, I truly feel like it's the best environment, best stadium in the world, and you know, it's just a great place to be.
Kenny Clark is my guest. All right, so one last thought: you're going to go to Minnesota next Monday night with a chance to win the NFC North. How do you go about approaching this game, and how fired up are you by the opportunity?
Man, you know, I'm fired up. I'm fired up, ready to go, and it's just, you know, honestly, just. It's a game that we got to go up there and we got to take it, man. And, you know, nothing has been easy, you know, this season for us. You know, we've been winning, you know these close games and, you know, playing some good football. So this game, we know it's going to be another tough game. And, you know, we're going to be prepared for it. We're going to be ready for it. And it's going to be a hostile environment, and we know that. And we're gonna be well prepared and ready to go, man. It's gonna be a huge game. It is a huge game for everything that we want to accomplish. And since the first day, you know, Coach LaFleur stepped in the doors here, you know, he talked about winning the North, and that's our number one goal, is winning the North, and everything else will take care of itself.
It's right there. The opportunity is next Monday night, Green Bay at Minnesota. Packers coming off another big win. Kenny Clark had a huge game in that win. Kenny, it's so good to finally have you on the show. That was a great conversation. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you, too.
That was fun. Kenny, good job. Really good interview. Kenny Clark, Packers D lineman. We had tried to get him way back in the day, and something happened in terms of scheduling. Nobody's fault. But that was really a good conversation. Great to have him on, finally. So the Packers are 11-3. They're in first in the North, and they've got the showdown Monday night against Minnesota. All right, so right now is the time to call. It is the last week of the jungle year. Friday is the year in review, so you might call on that day, and you may or may not get through, but it's a different kind of call. So if there's something you want to hit, now is the time to do so. Terrell Buckley is coming up at 10:40 Pacific. Monday, as you know, is an ATP day. Ask the pros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. I will answer one of them later on today. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I talked to Charles Robinson about Herb. You know, and Herb would have you believe that the reason he was sitting with the Dan is not the fact that he's the Herb and had a couple of former players in that game. Or that is the reason he'd have you believe. I'm not buying that. That guy never does anything like that. He's not doing anything that's not going to benefit him. I mean, come on, stop with that. I'm fine. You know, you want to be in the NFL? Great. You want to coach in the NFL? Great. Just don't act like you don't want to. Don't act like you're there to support your former players when we know that's not the case. I'll finish that thought. I want to talk about the Pats and the video. The Raiders coming from ahead to meltdown and Raider fan going crazy in their last game in Oakland. Man, what a scene that was. The Americans fight back and win the President's Cup, for whatever that's worth. And Deion Waiters suspended again. Stay tuned.